This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Hi, guys. We are back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I think it was a few weeks ago, I kind of schooled you guys on how to double check that somebody isn't injecting you with the wrong amount of your vaccine. Apparently, these cases of people being under-injected or given the wrong amount is happening more than it should. In Oakland, California, there was a bunch of people that got a letter, we spoke about this a couple hours ago, got notified that they were given too little a dose of their vaccine. I believe it was a Pfizer vaccine. Pfizer vaccine is about 0.3 cc's. Moderna, you get 0.5 cc's. And apparently there were tons of residents who got notified, even though it only had to be one group that went to one facility, not everybody. But one group that went to one facility, the syringe, apparently didn't inject or plunge the whole 0.3 cc's, 0.3 milliliters. So people thought they got 0.3 and they probably maybe got only 0.2. Now, public officials said, don't worry, when you come back and you get your second shot, it'll make it up. But people are pretty ticked that they went through all that, they got the vaccine, and they might not have gotten the full amount. Well, they shouldn't complain, because in Virginia, at a Kroger location, a bunch of people got injected with an empty syringe. This isn't the first time that happened. Apparently in Colorado, there was an 82-year-old woman that got injected with an empty syringe. What? Okay, what's going on here, people? Come on, look, I know that nothing's going to be perfect. There's going to be mistakes. But how, in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's name, do you not notice that there's no medicine in the syringe? So apparently, multiple patients at this Kroger location in Virginia received the empty syringe because a healthcare professional at that location in Chesterfield County was, quote, under the impression, assumed, that a colleague had filled the syringes before the patients came to their appointments. So, I don't know if you guys have received your vaccine yet, but there's a little bit of an assembly line style. Somebody is doing the thawing, somebody's doing the diluting, somebody is drawing it up, and then there's trays of these being brought out for people to inject. And so my guess is somebody thought that somebody else had done their job, so when they got the syringe. But if you're a healthcare professional, any healthcare professional, anywhere from the nursing student to the full-on trauma surgeon, you always double-check what you're injecting. You always look at the syringe. You look to see if there's any bubbles. You look to see if there's any contaminant. Remember that meningitis outbreak, that little epidemic of meningitis, that little outbreak where apparently the steroid that was being used for spinal injections had fungus in it, had mold. You could have looked at the bottle before you shook it up. If all that Kenalog or steroid or Medrol, whatever, looks discolored, you know something's wrong. You examine the syringe. So they were under the impression that somebody filled it. Apparently they say it's fewer than 10 people, but like I said, this happened in Colorado. This has happened before. We saw it on TV. Some guy got an injection and there was nothing in the vaccine. So you're like, what the heck? What's going on here? So anyway, as we move forward, where I get a little nervous, and by the way, apparently the Kroger spokesperson spoke out. They said they apologize for the oversight and the inconvenience to the customers. They're going to bring them back in to get their vaccine, blah, blah, blah. But what bothers me about something like this, and trust me, I'm not a perfectionist. You guys see my hair, you see the dents in my car, all right? I am not a perfectionist by any means, but when it comes to medicine, when it comes to health, you have got to be a perfectionist. You have got to be obsessive. You can't have a practice of 6,000 people and blow off one lab. You need to make sure that any lab you ran on that person, it came in, it was reviewed, that staff gave the orders that you had urged, suggested, that patient follow up, or they follow through on the recheck of blood work. You know, those of us in medicine, a lot of people don't get along with doctors. And, you know, maybe they think we're know-it-alls. It's not that we're know-it-alls, because we're not. Like I said, I don't know how to fix, you know, a scratch in my car. And I still don't know how a TV works. I really don't understand how a TV works. I don't even know how my phone works. I really don't get that. But we, in medicine, aren't half-assed. And we can't rest knowing that something wasn't done right. And the reason why is one small screw-up could be life or death for somebody. Injecting somebody with an empty syringe and them thinking that they got the vaccine, that's life or death. Because some of these people getting the vaccine are going out and partying and then possibly getting exposed to COVID. You have to do everything right. And what worries me is nobody who has dedicated their life to healthcare, medical student, nursing student, PA, nurse practitioner, doctor, respiratory therapist, physical therapist, nutritionist, chiropractor, pharmacist, no one ascribes to that sort of career planning on doing it half-assed. They know that they have to be 100% all the time. The prescription has to be written correctly. The charting has to be done 100%. Your care, your choice of a medicine, your scalpel technique, you always have to shoot for, you have to shoot for 150%, but it better be done 100% correctly on every single patient. So that means there is somebody in the healthcare world that is blindly injecting something into somebody without double checking the syringe. Are you checking the needle? Are you checking the amount? Nobody in healthcare does that. Now, mind you, I understand this of nursing students, medical students, pharmacy students might be so rigid and traumatized by being yelled at, saying, you do what I say, you do what I say, no question, that they might take it and go. But I don't think that's who's administering the vaccines at these locations. I'm under the impression that this is somebody who's a veteran healthcare professional. So that means that there's some people out there that are half-assed. And that scares me, because if they can do something like this with a COVID vaccine, what else are they doing in the realm of medical care? 1-877-DOCTOR, don't go away. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there. And many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person. Which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Show 1-877-DOC-DALLY, 1-877-DOC-DALLY. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel who's working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So Uber and Lyft are going to team up to create a database of drivers who have been ousted from their ride-hailing services for complaints about sexual assault and other crimes because of passenger safety concerns. So Thursday, it has been revealed that they are going to initially list drivers expelled in the United States. It will also be open to other companies that deploy workers to perform services such as delivering groceries or takeout orders from restaurants. This new safeguard is dubbed the Sharing Safety Program. It's going to be overseen by HireRight, a specialist in background checks. They're going to use a third party, and they're aimed at addressing potential legal concerns about companies, including competitors such as Uber and Lyft, having access to information to each other's personal matters. And I know that this is a little controversial, so we'll talk about it in a second. Lyft and Uber, they say, are competitors in a whole lot of ways, but on the issue of safety, they say, we completely agree that folks should be safe no matter what platform they choose. That's according to Tony West, Uber's chief legal officer of the Associated Press. He spoke in an interview that also included Jennifer Brandenburger, Lyft's head of policy development. So the safety program follows through on a promise that Uber made 15 months ago, when it revealed that more than 3,000 sexual assaults had been reported on its service in the U.S. during 2018. Since that revelation, San Francisco-based Uber and Lyft have been working to navigate through antitrust and privacy concerns to create a way to flag drivers who have been engaged in violent or other abhorrent behavior that culminated in them being booted off their services. Sharing the information about reported sexual assaults is considered especially important because victims of such crimes frequently don't file formal complaints with police. The gap has opened a crack for potentially dangerous drivers to slip through routine background checks drawing upon legal records. So this is according to ABC News. To protect privacy, no passenger information will be shared in the database, and the incidents that resulted in the driver's dismissal will be listed in six broad categories. Attempted non-consensual sexual penetration, non-consensual touching of a sexual body part, non-consensual kissing of a sexual body part, non-consensual kissing of a non-sexual body part, non-consensual sexual penetration, and fatal physical assaults. So, they believe that only a fraction of drivers that are employed or that were employed by Uber or Lyft have engaged in that behavior. Any company with access to the clearinghouse of information could still decide to allow the driver on its service, which means if a pizza delivery company or a food delivery company wants to access this database, they can do that as an additional background check to see if they want to hire somebody who goes to people's houses. Now, contactless delivery might help with that, but there are people going up to the door and can they work for Amazon? We'll see. So Michael Wolf, an Uber driver who leads a Washington State group representing 2,000 of the drivers, praised both ride-hailing services for trying to weed out abuses in the industry. They say a few bad apples give all of us drivers a bad name. The Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, also a rights group, has commended the job. So I know where some people are getting a little nervous. So on one end, yes, this had to be done. When you heard the people were getting into an Uber or a Lyft, and then either being abducted or assaulted or raped, that's on the company. What the heck is the company doing sending that driver or having that driver do the pickup and not having any responsibility? I mean, people are putting their lives in their hands. It blows my mind because as a kid, and I think there's a meme that's circulating, we were taught to never give personal information over the phone, never to log into a computer, right, or pay or use a credit card, never to get into a car with a stranger. I mean, look at what we're doing. It's just not. I remember even being nervous as a kid taking food that was delivered by somebody because they could have put something in the food. And by the way, we heard that there was like a statistic of 35% of your takeout food has already been nibbled on by the driver, like taking French fries and things like that. So that means they're touching your food. I look at the risks we take. Blows my mind. Get into cars, etc., with strangers. So we are putting our lives in other people's hands. We're putting our safety into other people's hands. If somebody is a sex offender and has assaulted before and they lose their job, but then they get picked up and by another job, because it didn't go through the legal system because somebody just gave them bad ratings, but they didn't file charges. Because you could, if you say somebody assaulted you, but you don't necessarily file charges, sometimes they could slip through the cracks. So yeah, you don't want somebody hopping from Uber to Lyft to whoever and then still unfortunately being at risk to others. But where this gets a little sticky is if it didn't go through the legal system, are we going to have a potential for there to be false accusations? And it really stinks because if nobody ever falsely accused somebody of rape or assault, this wouldn't be a topic. But you know, and I know there are people out there that have. They've accused people that, oh, but he assaulted me or he was inappropriate. And you're like, what? Okay, and you can't ask for proof because there's many times no proof. I mean, you have to take the person's word for it. But what if there's somebody whose ex decides to make their life a living hell? Ah, so you're an Uber driver now. You know, and you want to have custody of our kid because you think you have a good job. Well, I could ruin that. And they call up going, look, you know what? He's known for assault. He's known for this. Uber fires him. Now he's on this list, and I never did anything. What? So I would like, you know, they are going to have to streamline the process of who exactly is, you know, being accused. And, you know, but if somebody has a criminal record, it should show up on a database, on a background check, but these might be assaults that just never make it into the criminal world, shall we say, or the backgrounds. So, speaking of sexual assault, Andrew Cuomo has now been accused by a sixth person. Apparently, she was helping him with his phone, I believe, at the executive mansion. He called her to his executive mansion. Then we are being told her identity is not made known public, but he reached under her blouse and fondled her. This is a sixth woman, a fifth former aide, that has come forward this week to accuse Cuomo, who's 63 years old, of sexual misconduct. And Bill de Blasio, who is no friend of his, is calling for his immediate resignation. My guess is Bill de Blasio has had a lot of run-ins, has probably been very fearful of Andrew Cuomo's, you know, control over many of the things that happen in their city, or maybe, you know, control over their careers. And de Blasio is one of the more loud, outspoken people about asking for Cuomo's resignation. When quizzed during a daily press briefing Thursday whether he considering the latest allegation, de Blasio let out an exacerbated sigh before adding, yeah, in terms of Cuomo calling for resignation. So Cuomo has not resigned. He said he has not touched anybody inappropriately. He'll use the word touched. He won't say, I had not spoken to, or, you know, and he's kind of stood by. He hasn't touched anybody inappropriately. But now with the sixth accuser saying, yeah, you touched my breast when you went under my shirt, now he's going to have to defend against that. And he's due process. Everybody is. And it's frustrating because you don't know if any of these attacks could be, you know, politically related, but these are people that were in his administration, and these are women coming out and, you know, similar stories. And so, you know, he does have his day in court. He is innocent until proven guilty. But my issue with all of this is, you know, if I had to choose whether he should resign or not, based on what happened with the nursing home fiasco, that was an abuse of power. And that alone should have been, he should have already been out of office for that. So, you know, now everybody's debating, well, should he leave office? Because now we have six women. What's going on? What happened with the nursing home deaths and the cover up with that? Allegedly, he's innocent of proven guilty. So, you know, before Cuomo's sixth accuser come forward, de Blasio did allude to the idea that he believed the governor should step down, saying more information would come out that would make it harder for him to stay in office. He said, I'll say it in my own way. I just don't see how he could govern effectively when fewer and fewer people believe him. I think there's more information that's going to come out that makes it harder and harder. So how he knew, I don't know. And, you know, is this a ploy to get people to, you know, have him resign? But that one picture of that one aide where he's kind of holding her by both parts of the head it's intimidating. It's aggressive. So I have no doubt that there were actions of his that were taken inappropriately. 1-877-DOT-TELLY.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden signed the $1.9 trillion relief package into law that he says will help the United States defeat the virus and help the economy. The president moving up the signing 2 hours before he's set to deliver his first primetime address about the pandemic. The bill passing with no Republican support in the House or Senate.
It is the largest single spending bill in history, and the only bipartisan vote was the vote against the bill. Not one Republican voted for it. The question is why.
House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy. Derek Chauvin is now facing a third-degree murder charge. A judge reinstated the charge on Thursday against a former Minneapolis police officer accused of killing George Floyd. Chauvin is also facing second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter charges. You're listening to USA Radio News. The Boston bomber is suing the federal prison in Colorado where he's an inmate. He's amended the lawsuit first filed in January, now claiming he's being prevented from having contact with his family. In the initial filing, he claimed he is being unlawfully and unreasonably treated. As spring training continues, one team is making an announcement that will have many fans jumping for joy.
When the Texas Rangers open their season on April 5th against the Toronto Blue Jays, they may do it in a packed ballpark. The Rangers may be the first team to welcome back fans at full capacity next month in the wake of Texas Governor Greg Abbott's removal of all restriction on businesses. The team says they will still have mitigation strategies in place. Fans will still have to wear masks unless actively eating or drinking at their seats. The Rangers' 40,518-seat Globe Life Field opened last season with fans only being allowed back during postseason games. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
And this is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity, TeamGaday.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, guys. We are back with Dr. Dahlia's show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So a family of a 911 operator in Phoenix has died. Or not the family, but an operator who died in Phoenix after working a 16-hour shift. The family is suing the city for $35 million. Apparently, Pamela Cooper, 46 years old, was rushed to the hospital after working a 911 shift and later died after being taken off life support. This is according to KPNX TV, Phoenix. And the attorney for the family said this never should have happened. Nobody should have to die for the job. So we are being told that she was worked to death. Now, apparently, she had returned to work 2 weeks prior. after being out for 6 weeks as she battled coronavirus. Now, because she was out for 6 weeks, she had run out of her paid leave time and apparently was supporting her mother, a widow on Social Security, and her husband, whose unemployment benefits had run out. I'm not sure how the unemployment benefits ran out, because I thought everybody had that continued through other COVID packages. Not sure. But unfortunately, she felt she had to work, so she returned to work 2 weeks prior. And the family claims that a supervisor mandated she worked a nearly double shift. But she complained that she wasn't feeling well. Now, Cooper had messaged her mom, "No opting out or I get written up." So the husband said they could have sent her home when she wasn't feeling well, because that's the protocol. Now, city officials had told the news station that they have lost 11 operators since the start of 2021, and that operators are required to work overtime if needed, so that 911 calls can be handled round the clock. But employees who are feeling sick should be sent home by their supervisor. That's according to a city spokesperson. Now, they say the city's 911 dispatch operation has lost employees because of coronavirus and because of low pay and burnout issues. That's according to the New Times. In January, Phoenix reported 911 call answering averages that were below the national standard of 95% of calls handled in 20 seconds or less, according to KPNX. So every now and then, we will discuss some of the issues that, you know, we have from the front lines, from the first responders. And 911 operators are probably one of the most undercredited heroes in the whole medical process. You know, we doctors, we get a lot of credit. We're like, yeah, we saved the life of the ER. But I got to tell you, when I took care of people in the ER, I thanked everybody all the way down to the 911 operator. I mean, those 911 operators stabilized, you know, are able to talk you through, calm you down until the ambulance comes, make sure you don't do stupid. Make sure you don't do something that could unfortunately make it worse. Remember when the crocodile hunter was stabbed by a stingray, and it stabbed into his chest? He was on a boat, and he on his own removed the, you know, just pulled out the dagger that was in his heart. If he would have left it in there and the 911 operator would have walked through and told him to leave it there, then, you know, he could have still been alive. And so these 911 operators, you know, they're not MDs, DOs, you know, full-on medical doctors. These are people who have extensive training and have to basically be your triage person, your first, you know, even though their job is called 911 to get the ambulance, etc., but, you know, they still walk you through. They walk you through the Narcan injection for somebody who overdosed. And a job like that is exhausting. It's, you know, I, being a physician, I would see maybe 60, 70 patients a day in an ER urgent care setting in a 12, 13-hour shift. Sometimes my shifts are 14 hours. As a resident and as a medical student, 36-hour shifts. You're exhausted, not only physically, but mentally. You know, if I could sit at a desk and every now and then play some solitaire or check my Facebook, you get to take some breaks. But when you're a medical provider, you are on. And with everything going on, remember, Arizona had huge surges in cases last spring. These people were pretty busy. You, on top of that, you're on. You're already dealing with COVID and maybe some of the brain fog and some of the lack of breathing and oxygen and issues that you had with COVID. It's not an easy job. Now, again, why did she die? I don't know. They aren't really going into that. Is it because she had a heart attack? Is it because her COVID was not gone away completely? You know, was it, but it sounded like it happened after her double shift. Now, some people say, okay, well, their boss is horrible, you know, yeah, but, you know, unfortunately, most people's bosses during this time of the pandemic, whether it's a hospital, a medical center, a 911, or a city, you know, these people worked overtime. These cops worked double shifts. These paramedics worked double shifts. You know, I hadn't taken a day off since January 2019. No, July 2019. And I would have still worked, but I was on vacation. I was out of the country. I was trying to see some patients on the downtime, but I had been working since, I believe, July 2nd or July 3rd of 2019, and I hadn't taken one day off since then. And that's just telemedicine. I'm not even in the ER anymore. I mean, that's how busy a time it's been. So what do you do? Well, you know, there's a lot of problems with this here, right? So she was off 6 weeks and she ran out of sick leave. So many people will say, well, there's your answer. We need to give people more sick leave. Okay. I mean, it would be nice to have more sick leave. Some COVID illnesses last a long time. The problem with that is who's paying for that? Right? The cities were already scrap cashed. And then who do they hire to man the post if somebody's off? Or woman the post, a person the post. Who do they have to take that role? You know, when I would, with my office, when we would be busy, I would have to hire extra. And people say, well, you're busy, so you can pay for it. Not entirely. Just because you're busy, you don't see that money for months if you're even going to see it. Because insurance doesn't pay for months. And many times insurance said, oh, sorry, deductible. And patients were like, what, 3 months ago? I don't remember. I'm not going to pay. So we had to spend money extra just to hire extra people in case people were off. So you're basically paying two people for that same hour, day, shift, etc. For a small business owner, that's rough. For an employee, it's rough. There's no answer. It would be awesome to have months of paid leave. It would be awesome. But then the other flip side is that if you do have paid leave, you get to be paid to stay home. Why come back? I can't tell you how many times I hear with jobs, you don't use it, you lose it. So people would take off just to use their leave because they're going to lose it. Well, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose, especially when we're talking about, okay, we need 911 operators. So when I hear that call answering averages were below the national standard, that to me means there's an understaffed issue. Now, luckily with 911 operators, they could work separated, they could have plexiglass, they could maybe, you know, redesign the way they do the rooms of the dispatch so they don't have to be others and exposed to COVID. But, you know, I just don't know what the answer is. So people run out of their leave and they come back to work. For many, it's kind of the kick in the butt to get people to come back to work who are fine and wouldn't. For others, it's a death sentence. Because they weren't ready to come back. And they forced themselves to come back to support their family. And that's what the family is saying was happened with her. So it's tragic. I don't know what the answer is. But I'm telling you all, no job is worth your life. All right? I understand you got to support your family. You don't want to get fired. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't feel well and you feel sick, no, a boss doesn't know your health or your body. You do. Your physician does. Or medical provider does. So if at all you don't feel right or you don't feel you can handle it, you get yourself out of that situation. Get yourself to a medical provider because you could always find a new job. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence. When you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. so I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
All right, guys, we are back on Dr. Dahlia's show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I think today marks the 10-year anniversary of Japan's 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster. People say cleaning up the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant reactors could still take another 30 years. The plant's owners, Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, predicts that decades-long work to remove nuclear fuel, about 900 tons of melted fuel debris, dispose of contaminated cooling water, and dismantle the four reactors will cost the government $76 billion or more. This is according to Science Magazine.
They say we're still just very near the starting line for cleaning up after the meltdowns and explosions that were triggered by the earthquake and then the tsunami and the natural disasters. According to Fukushima Prefecture Governor Masao Uchibori. So details of what's happening inside the reactors are unknown. It's still too dangerous for humans to go inside. Robots can only provide a partial view of the melted fuel. In 2022, workers are scheduled to test a mechanical arm that will retrieve fuel debris at the bottom of the Unit 2 reactor. They say, in addition, 1.24 million tons of contaminated water circulating through the reactors, some of which leaked into the ocean early in the crisis, will also be a little challenging to deal with. Treatment can only remove certain radioactive elements, not including tritium. Tritium poses a health risk, so trying to kind of clean this up could put more people at risk. The government is not yet sure about what to do with the treated water. TEPCO reports it will run out of room for the water by the summer of next year. They say it took $2.2 billion and a decade to construct the four units damaged in the accident, and government has spent $2.95 billion on the region's recovery. Now, already, Tokyo has, you know, Tokyo was kind of hoping that the Olympics would help some of the financial woes they have. But they're going to have a socially distanced commemorative ceremony. I believe some of the torch relay people are supposed to start in Fukushima. And so the ceremony, I believe, has started. His wife led a moment of Emperor Naruhito and his wife led a moment of silence to honor those killed at 2:46 p.m. Local time. And that was when the Tohoku earthquake struck a decade ago. It was a magnitude 9 earthquake, a massive 40-foot tsunami that triggered the triple reactor meltdown at the plant. It forced more than 160,000 residents to flee their homes. 18,426 people were killed. 2,500, they still haven't found the remains. Now, they say none of the fatalities were directly linked to the radiation from the Fukushima plant, but the damage had released an estimated 538 petabecquerels of, I don't know if I mispronounced that, of radioactivity into the atmosphere. This was the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl, and more than 14 million tons of radioactive waste has since been moved from the site to a temporary storage space using plastic waste bags. To date, 42,000 people, including the 35,000 from Fukushima, have been displaced across northeastern Japan. So we've been seeing cancer, diabetes, some elderly die from a decrease in care, deterioration. So TEPCO said the tsunami could not have been anticipated. And in 2019, three former executives were found not guilty after being accused of failing to take precautionary measures that could have prevented the meltdowns of the plants. So since then, about a third of Japan's 54 nuclear reactors have been permanently shut down. Only 9 have resumed operation, according to Scientific American. They report that the accident obviously had global implications. In the U.S., no nuclear reactors were shut down. No regulatory measures have thus been, I guess, we kind of lead the world in nuclear energy output, but I don't want to announce that because I do not want a natural disaster to force anything like that to happen, so we've been lucky. But the U.S. Energy Information Administration forecasts that nuclear power used to generate electricity in the U.S. could fall by 8% in the next 29 years. And that's as governments are trying to assert maintaining nuclear power is necessary to meet climate goals, and the U.S. government continues to invest in nuclear power. Japan is still renewing its debate over the role of nuclear power because they're trying to achieve net carbon neutrality. So it's, you know, sad. It's just hard to imagine. It's already been a decade since that happened. Still, there's radiation in Chernobyl that, you know, here we are picking it up from, that was an 87 incident, 86, 1986 incident. So here we are 35 years later. It just, unfortunately, these things are just, you know, beyond comprehension of how, you know, we're able to keep things safe and then all of a sudden a natural disaster just blows through whatever we could do. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So the CDC has released a list of states with the lowest life expectancies. And unfortunately, as expected, the southern states come out lower than others. They say Americans born in the southern states faced the lowest life expectancies in 2018. Of course, these data only goes back to 2018. We don't see it as, you know, we won't have 2019, 2020 numbers. You'd think we would, but the findings published in the National Vital Statistics Report on Thursday offer a hypothetical snapshot of mortality estimates, assuming populations will face the same conditions as they did in 2018. Now, you know, there was the opioid crisis. This was before the coronavirus pandemic, so numbers obviously have changed. But the results tied West Virginia with the shortest average of life expectancy nationwide at 74.4 years old, followed by Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Arkansas, South Carolina, Missouri, ranging from 74.6 to 76.6 average life expectancies. So, unfortunately, the southern states always seem to have, you know, the brunt of it when it comes to a lot of health issues. They also have the highest life expectancy is usually in the western and northeastern states. Hawaii ranked number one with a life expectancy of 81 years. Then came California, New York, Minnesota, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Washington, Colorado, New Jersey, Rhode Island, all at about 80-plus years. Females were projected to live longer than men. The report noted a five-year difference in life expectancy between the sexes, ranging from 6.2 years in New Mexico to a 3.8-year difference in Utah. So, you know, people ask, why is it the South? Is it the diet? I think there's a whole variety of factors with it. Maybe it could be diet, but I am licensed in Alabama, for example. Their access to doctors and hospitals, many of them are miles, hours away from a medical center. So, you know, where I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, Nevada ranked 37, I believe, on this list. Let me see. Where's Nevada? Nevada ranked 33 on the list of life expectancy, where we live to an average of 77.9. And mind you, I don't think that's that good, considering we have a large senior population. Florida, let me see where Florida ranked number 22, with the average age of 78.9. But where I live, there's a hospital 15 minutes away each direction. Okay, it's because the city's small. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, rural is a different story. But where I live, it's pretty close. You know? I mean, Hawaii, they're not big states. Medical centers, and also could be the stress. Living in Hawaii could be, maybe in Hawaii, they're eating fish. You know, more, maybe they have a more, you know, plant-based diet. You know, California has tons of medical centers. Still, I don't believe they have enough hospital beds, considering what happened with the pandemic. But, you know, you also have a lot of people attracted to working in California. I don't have a license in California because I have multiple states I have licenses in. I really don't need any more, you know. But, yeah, I would consider moving back to California. I was born there. I love California. I don't like a lot of politics, and I don't like what they've done with the restrictions. And Disneyland needs to open up soon. But, you know, it's California's a beautiful state. So when you look at California, New York, Minnesota being up there high, I think it's because there's a lot of nature. People use a lot of medical facilities at their disposal. 1-877, Dr. Dollar, don't go away.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers.
Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.